Juice Radio. I mega faulted your mother.
You like discussions about incest?
Because first of all, it's the worst movie ever made.
The link ain't blue, so I can't click.
Visit our website at www.geekjuicemedia.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Geek Juice Radio. You have got Geek Juice Radio running down your ear's face, out of breath and euphoric.
Nice.
Tonight, yeah, I thought so.
Did you say your ear's face?
Yes. Yes. Geek Juice has exploded into your ears, and it is running down your ear's face.
The best kind of face.
My Just name... let it go, Jowski. Let it go.
Yeah, cut around that, motherfucker. My name is Charlie McMullen. With us tonight is Alex Jowski.
How's it going tonight?
Tom Bad Guy.
Yo.
And Josh Hadley.
Hee hee hee.
Today we will be discussing Crystal Skull in general. I believe the fourth cinematic abortion that is the Indiana Jones film, but also just Crystal Skull in general.
And Tom, this is just for you because it's your chance to defend the globally hated film.
Actually, when you told me what topics we're going to talk about, you said Indiana Jones. So we'll go through Crystal Skull, but I better hear some good shit about any other Indiana Jones movie.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
I would adopt Short Round without even thinking about it.
Well, let's do like in Q&A. I'll start with you, Charlie.
I would adopt Kate Capshaw.
Go ahead and list your issues one by one, and each one you list, I'll try to defend it.
Okay. I find many things wrong with that, but what I found most wrong was Shia LaBeouf training a herd of monkeys in a matter of 30 seconds while hanging from a vine to attack.
Now, when you say that, from what I remember was, I don't know if he really trained it, it's just, actually, the monkeys kind of trained him because it's Shia LaBeouf, because he was watching him.
Except he was ostensibly the leader, they were following his lead.
They were swinging on the vines and shit. I can't defend Shia LaBeouf, that's the one thing I can't defend.
Now, the only defense, because I took another look through this movie in preparation for tonight, I did not make it all the way through, but I think the scene with the monkeys was a callback to the scene earlier in the diner, where the other greasers were ready to defend Shia LaBeouf just based on the fact that he's like a brother Seamus, like he's one of them.
He's a greaser monkey.
So these monkeys were the greasers of the jungle, as it were.
So who are the preps in the jungle?
Snakes. All of them. Yes.
Good snakes.
I'm going to have to say, and yes, I know, already know what your argument's going to be, Tom, that you're going to say, well, like the other movies weren't scientifically accurate, but the whole surviving the concussion blast alone, let's leave the radiation of the nuke out. The concussion blast alone would have liquefied Indy inside that fridge. And then why didn't all the other fridges in that little fake town fly? And then why was there no other debris? It only shot the fridge far away. Why didn't it shoot the fake cars and the fake buildings? And none of this makes sense!
Take a goddamn breath, sir.
I will indulge you. The reason nothing happened to Indiana Jones is because he drank from the cup of Christ and he can't die. That's why.
Oh, snap. Look at that.
Yes, but you know what? That's another thing that bugged me, because so did his dad, and he's dead before the movie starts.
I think his dad chose to die. I think you're allowed, and why is, this is based off absolutely nothing but what's coming off the top of my head. I think that when you drink from the cup of Christ, you're allowed to choose when you want to go, and I think he chose when to go. Just like the James Bond series did when he got done doing that, too.
I think you're straining to do some explaining there, buddy.
You're saying that Indiana Jones' father had rented and watched Entrapment and then killed himself?
Exactly.
Okay.
Are you sure it wasn't he just had a memory of Zardoz?
Well, I mean, technically, let's look at it in this aspect, because so for saying that Sean Connery's immortal in this movie, technically in the Highlander movie is immortal, all he needed was his head taken off to die. So maybe there's some freaky cup of Christ head decapitation that I don't know about that made him die in some accident where he slipped on his pen and fell down the stairs.
So you're saying he went back for the coaster of Christ?
Exactly.
Okay.
That you can bring beyond the seal.
This is actually what Steven Spielberg had to say about the fridge, that don't blame Lucas, blame me. This was all my silly idea. And he talks about the scientific research that went into that fridge scene. He said that a lot of scientists, if the refrigerator were lead-lined and if Jones didn't break his neck in the crash, the odds of surviving that refrigerator are about 50-50.
At 50-50, and then if you're Indiana Jones, it just goes up to like 80-20.
All right, then explain why nothing else flew out. Why only the guy goddamn fridge?
I don't even remember that closely.
Then explain this one to me. How do they use magnets to find the gold when gold is a non-magnetic metal?
Good point.
Use magnets to find the gold?
The magnetic skull?
Don't they, like, throw the iron filings up in the air and then follow the...
No, no, no. When they have the thing and they're in, like, the underground thing, the gold coins are attracted to it, yet gold is a non-magnetic metal.
Well, I can't explain it this way because that skull is alien and God knows what can be attached to it.
Then why wasn't it pulling all the other things? Like, they clearly had buckles all over them. Why wasn't it pulling all the metal from that? Why did it only pull whatever the script said it should pull? And yes, I'm getting really f***ing animated because this movie pisses me off, Tom.
Because I believe the skull is selective.
Is that your answer to everything?
I'm just saying it's an alien thing. It's impossible to know anything about it. And
all right, so all right. How about something earthbound? Why, when they're going into, before they find out about the space, the place between places or space between spaces or whatever, do all those Aborigines just break out of the walls? Did they just sit in there all day, every day? Do they take shifts just waiting for some invader that's going to happen once a millennia? I mean, is that their job? Is it like a 9-to-5? They just punch cards and, you know, it's going to be like those Looney Tunes cartoons? Morning, Fred.
I was going to cover the explanation, but I think that one's way better than what I was going to say.
I was going to say, an Earth millennium is much longer than an alien millennium.
I'm taking 9-to-5, and when they got a they just got to hold it. That's just what I'm going with. I was going to say that maybe somewhere off camera you couldn't see, there has to be like one scout somewhere, and then that's just how they get into position.
But how would they get into position? They're walled in. There was a wall all the way around them. It's not like they had an easy entrance.
Well, we don't know if there's tunnels that go up into there or anything like that. We don't know.
You are just straining for some explaining, buddy.
I'm trying my best here. I was offered to defend, and there's stuff we don't know. So, I mean, they could have a tunnel that went to each little compartment. You know how it probably excited they were, because you can only do that exploding out of the wall thing one time. So they must have had a scout at some sort of secret channel of tunnels to get up there, and they were probably so f***ing excited that they actually got to do this.
Okay, now there is a little bit of a seed of reality. Like, I know the legend of the Crystal Skull is an actual thing, so Alex, why don't you fill us in a little bit on that?
I don't know. I'm not Kevin, the history major here.
Well, I noticed you were looking at the Wikipedia page for us, so I figured you knew more than me.
I watched the Sci-Fi Channel special on the actual Crystal Skulls. Does that count?
That counts.
It does.
You're the most educated on the actual lore here. Go, Josh.
Basically, the Crystal Skulls, they found 7 to 9 of them, although a couple have been found to be fraud, so that's why I'm saying 79. We don't know how many there actually are. That basically were these absolutely perfect skulls that could not even be duplicated by today's technology. They couldn't be real, but they could not have been done from the era that they are from, let alone today. So they think aliens must have done it with alien technology. You know, it's like the History Channel. I'm not saying it's aliens, but it's aliens.
Okay, and how long was this Sci-Fi Channel special?
2 hours.
Holy s***.
I actually have a review screener for that Sci-Fi sent me.
Well, the Blair Witch got 2 hours in its Sci-Fi special as well.
That was actually entertaining, though. Because if you watch that knowing that it was all bullshit, then that special is so much better.
Actually, one of Sci-Fi's best was did you guys ever see the M. Night Shyamalan special that came out right around Unbreakable?
No, because I watched one they did around the time of The Village that was just pretentious and terrible.
There was one where he was the main character and they were trying to solve his murder and Johnny Depp appeared in it, and it was just bizarre. It was all done as if it were a documentary about events that clearly never happened.
Huh.
It's kind of fun.
That sounds interesting, yeah.
Yeah, the one they did for The Village about M. Night was like, all of his other movies have led to this moment that there's like a connection. It's like all Number 23 style as well.
Bruce Willis has led to The Village.
When doesn't he?
I gotta say, though, Unbreakable is that dude's only good movie.
Yeah, I don't
know. No, it's not. Signs.
Signs? Really?
Yeah, I loved... Okay, Signs legitimately made me jump at least 3 times. And for someone as jaded and cynical as me, that's... I applaud him for making me... hit me with jump scares, man.
I liked Signs, actually, when I saw it in theaters, because I found it very... Well, I don't want to say derivative. What's the complementary equivalent of derivative?
Homage Attic?
Yes.
I saw that movie about 300 times in the theater.
Oh, I just saw it the once. But no, it was very, very much in the Hitchcockian style.
I like that.
I enjoyed Signs until I learned that water was the alien's weakness. Because then I just said, well, maybe not invade a planet that's 3/4 water.
See, okay, if Tom gets to explain then so do I.
Okay.
Shyamalan said the aliens were running low on resources and we were the only planet that had what they needed they could invade. They didn't exactly get to pick, hey, let's go invade that planet. It was, hey, this planet's the only one that's standing up right now. We're about out of fuel. We got to take what we can get.
So yeah. Take the risk.
What do we have besides water that other planets don't, though?
Oxygen?
Red Bull. That would actually be a better movie. If that movie had been from the point of view of the aliens, that would have been more entertaining to me.
Yeah, the whole point from him was, what if War of the Worlds happened, but you only got to see it from one small family's perspective instead of from the perspective of the military and the scientists? And I kind of liked that as an idea.
I did, too. I liked that it was just that one family.
The Tom Cruise War of the Worlds was not that bad. I kind of like that one.
All right, you and me, we're enemies now, dude. No.
I'm back and forth with that movie, because sometimes, like, yeah, it's not bad, then sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, Tom Cruise is in this movie.
See,
yeah,
Tom Cruise wasn't the problem with that movie. The problem was the movie made no goddamn sense. Because, like, okay, first of all, the whole stupid thing. The tanks are coming over the hill on fire. Everything's being obliterated, and the kid, I have to know. And then the kid is left behind, and they advance past him, yet he winds up at the grandparents' house before they do? The grandparents' house also being the one mysterious block that did not get obliterated? Oh, fuck you, Spielberg.
What is your idea on why he just had to see it?
Plot contrivance. They probably couldn't afford the actor, so they had to get rid of him.
Didn't that guy play Goku in the Dragon Ball movie?
Isn't that the guy from Shameless? Or is it just the guy that looks a lot like him?
Not sure. I think it might just look like him. I do know that he was Goku in that horrible Dragon Ball movie.
It probably was plot contrivance. I didn't say it was goddamn Citizen Kane. I just enjoyed it momentarily.
I hated it. I was just gripping my seat the entire time, just waiting until this thing was over so I could explode.
My thing was especially that scene where he's like, I just have to see it. I was trying to think of actual logical ways. Like, does he have to see it and like run back? No, apparently he has to go. He wants to go join the military and then he just has to see it. I didn't get it.
The military guys are running away from this. So, yeah, I'm going to send the stupid teenage kid into this because he has to know.
It would make more sense if it was, like, something being shown on TV and, like, the father was trying to cover his eyes and then he says, no, I have to see it, to actually see something like that. But to run up the hill to I thought would be a definite death, and then you don't even know how the he gets back.
Which is like what I said. They kept traveling and somehow he wound up in front of them. How the hell does that work? I mean, that's as bad as the shark beating them there in Jaws 4. The shark was faster than an airplane.
Okay, so I think that the aliens in War of the Worlds had the Ark of the Covenant. Now go with me, and it just gets inside your head. You have to see it.
But no, because Jones and what's-her-face crackhead didn't have to see it. They kept their eyes closed.
Well, I don't know. They had other stuff going on.
Marion, that's it.
And it was the same guy, by the way. We just looked it up. The kid from War of the Worlds, same guy from Dragon Ball Z, and same guy from Shameless.
I thought that was him, but I wasn't 100% on that.
So Indiana Jones and Marion were just sitting there like, oh, I was texting, I missed it. Oh.
One other thing about Crystal Skull, I noticed they didn't explain Karen Black's face. They didn't have any kind of a plot point where she had gotten some sort of facial paralysis. Because I know in the real world it was Botox and lots of it, but they did not explain in the movie why she looked like a wax dummy of herself.
Some things are best left unexplained.
Well, and then also, things don't make sense in Crystal Skull.
It's Karen Allen.
Karen Allen, that's right.
I was going to say Karen Black. I didn't think she was in that.
Who was Karen Black?
She looks way worse, too. Karen Black's the chick from Trilogy of Terror and Killer Fish.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you're right. My bad.
But, like, okay, you've got an actual alien skull that does all this. You've got the goddamn Ark of the Covenant sitting in a warehouse. I know our government is inefficient, but I think they'd try to find uses for those things and not just file them away at Warehouse 13.
They did, and that use was 9/11.
Wow. Ark of the Covenant, 9/11. Good stuff. I was going to say Xbox 360, but I guess we'll just go with 9/11.
Yeah, well.
Any of you guys ever notice that, remember with the Nazis when they're melting? That's not what Lindsay Lohan looks like.
I did notice that.
It's
especially
creepy.
Especially with the dripping and everything.
Yeah. By the way, when I was researching my article on Carrie today, it was talking about how Steven Spielberg's pick for the new Carrie was Lindsay Lohan.
Why not?
God.
Sherry has... Never mind. I was going to say something nasty. was gonna say her. The fire will match the drapes. That's or the carpet match the fire.
The fire will match the drapes.
The fire will match the drapes.
Oh, she has orange pubic hair.
And that's not actually her color. She just didn't wash out the oranges after eating.
She's actually brunette.
No, what happened was
she's using carrots totally wrong.
Or no, she's like, oh, you can do that with ping pong balls? Watch what I do with this orange.
It may be wrong, but it feels so right.
Lindsay Lohan is 100% concentrate.
Well, do you guys remember the movie I Come in Peace, or it's now called Dark Angel, with Dolph Lundgren and Michael Benben?
That
or
sounds
Brian
familiar.
Benben?
That sounds familiar.
I have not heard of that, but I Come in Peace is a great title.
I think I saw a trailer for it several times.
Okay, it's an awesome movie. Dolph is actually really good in it, you know. Rogue cop who can't get the job done until, you know, he's suspended, blah, blah, blah. But an alien comes down and all he says is, I come in peace. And then he kills people. And what he does is he steals a bunch of heroin, shoots people up, and then stabs a spike into their brain because their heroin infected brain is a drug on his planet. So he's an intergalactic drug dealer. And then a space cop comes down and the FBI gets involved and the CIA gets involved. And it's just got this great thing that I thought, you know, if he'd run into someone like Lindsay Lohan, he wouldn't even have to dope them up. He could just stab their what's left of their brain. And it would just speed the whole process up. Like Keith Richards, he could make that whole planet survive for decades.
And then he'd still be f***ing alive afterwards.
I am getting this movie right now. That's awesome.
I saw it somewhere like recently. I just can't remember.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that either.
After 9/11, they changed the title from I Come in Peace to Dark Angel. So you might want to look under both. The old VHSs, and I've got it on Laserdisc, as I Come in Peace, but the DVD is Dark Angel.
Listening to your description of the movie, though, what would 9/11 have to do with retitling that movie?
The whole I Come in Peace thing, because right after 9/11 there was all these Muslims running around going, you know, we come to your country in peace. So it was considered politically incorrect to seem like demeaning, I'm coming in peace.
Yes, because I could see people getting confused and thinking, oh, well, all Muslims are coke addicted aliens.
Well,
not coke, heroin. Will you at least pay attention, Jowski?
I don't know about you, but I'm about to come in peace.
Well, somebody had to do it. Take a shot when you can use that. You can use that joke.
Well, it's kind of like Spoonie. He always looks for an excuse for a movie that rips off Mad Max 3, so he can just go, "Can't we ever get beyond Thunderdome?" He loves that joke and is always looking for an excuse to use it.
In fact, I watched his Strike Commander review where he uses it completely in context, and he's so happy.
Like, it was his moment that he was waiting for his whole life.
Because there's a scene in Strike Commander that's clearly ripping off of Thunderdome. And he's like, can't we just get beyond Thunderdome? Incidentally, you should watch Strike Commando.
Yeah.
It is an amazing movie.
I would actually say Shocking Dark, a.k.a. Terminator 2, is Bruno Mattei's best. Oh, I don't know. RoboWar is pretty... Or, Predator 3 is actually pretty good.
I tricked my sister into watching Strike Commando because she loved Space Mutiny. Like, remember the guy in Space Mutiny? Well, now he's in Vietnam.
He actually used to be in real movies, like Uncommon Valor with Gene Hackman. And he was the original Captain America in the 70s on TV.
Yes, he was.
He was also in Howling 2, where he got to fight alongside Christopher Lee, and he got to see Sybil Danning turn into a werewolf and stab her while she was naked.
And who wouldn't love that?
Terrorists.
Those dirty coke heroin-addicted terrorists.
Apparently he was also on an episode of Miami Vice in 87.
He's actually badass in that. Check out the Miami Vice episode. It's called Viking Bikers from Hell. It's written by John Milius, the writer of Magnum Force, Apocalypse Now, writer-director of Conan, and he wrote Red Dawn. It's actually Reb Brown kicks ass. He shoots tubs in it. He doesn't go down at all. I mean, he just is a total badass in that episode, and it also has Billy from Predator in it as well.
Okay, well, I'm also saying that he did an episode of Bosom Buddies, so take that with a big grain of salt.
He was also in the movie where he gets bit in the foot in the shower by a poisonous snake and dies.
I've seen that movie.
Oh, Bosom Buddies was the one where he was playing Captain America. That's right. I'm sorry.
He was also in an episode of The Facts of Life, and I would love to see that episode, to see the rest of the Facts of Life cast doing their thing, but then you have Reb Brown doing, like, Space Mutiny Strike Commando-style performance.
Hey, Alex?
Yes, just that in the middle of a Facts of Life episode.
Why is he screaming at Tootie?
He does that so often in Howling 2. I don't know if the director just couldn't control him. He'll just be in the middle of a chase scene and just turn around and go, and then start running again. I don't get it.
Although the best part of Strike Commando is the little kid's death scene. And,
and they have the trees made of cotton candy.
And there's a genie.
I think this might be a new record for how far off topic we can actually go.
Thanks for ruining it. We could have gone farther. I was about to go off a tangent about beer.
What
I didn't like that movie.
What do you have to say about beer, man?
Has anybody tried, and if you haven't, you better. It's the new thing I'm hooked on is O'Hara's Irish Stout or O'Hara's Irish Red.
No, but I saw you tweeting back and forth with Kevin about it the other day.
That is f***ing good. That makes Guinness taste like swill if you don't think it tastes that way already.
What?
Yeah, suck it, Charlie. Suck it.
I don't drink at all for any reason, and I never have, so suck it, Tom.
I don't want to suck it if you're not drinking.
Then it'd just be awkward.
Yeah. They'd be like looking at each other with the awkward glance, like, should we be doing this, but we're still gonna kind of do it, and we just shrug our shoulders like, f*** it, let's get it over with.
Can't we just play Xbox instead?
That's really good. And then also another really good one I had, I don't think I'll ever drink American again. I'm spoiled by imports now. I drank a really good beer is Carlsberg. Charlie, you gotta try that. That is awesome.
Carlsberg?
Yeah, Carlsberg. It's a beer from Copenhagen. It's like Heineken, but like 100 times better. And it's full-bodied. So like, you drink like half a Heineken, you're like, yeah, okay. And then like the taste goes away. I mean, this is great from sip one, like all the way down where you're like trying to lick the drops from the bottom. It is really good.
Heineken, I do not care for at all.
Charlie, can we talk about why the Mass Effect 3 ending is so bad?
I'm sorry, am I spoiling beer for you? Jesus.
No, I was just trying to get under your skin, man. Feeling left out because I got nothing to say about beer.
The ending of Mass Effect.
I'll tell you what, when I beat it, we'll totally talk about it. Totally.
You're going to be so pissed that I don't think talking will be what will be happening. It'll be screaming.
No, somebody told me at work, I don't know if this is true, but they're actually going to remake the actual ending because there's so much uproar about it.
Bad. They're going to release DLC that retcons the ending as a dream and gives you a real ending.
That DLC better be f***ing free.
Okay.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying right now.
Tom, you said the word remake, and that's as close as we're ever going to get to a segue. So, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
The Michael
Bay. No. It's now officially, the title is Ninja Turtles. Official title Michael Bay announced now.
It's still inaccurate.
Yes, it's still inaccurate, but there's no teenage and there's no mutant anymore. Just Ninja Turtles is the working title of the film.
I mean, Jusky told me about this. He's like, the new Turtles movie, they're going to be aliens. And I sat there, I was like, how do I react to this? And he's like, f***ing Michael Bay. And I was like, are you really that surprised by now that something like that's going to happen? I mean, seriously, he said Michael Bay, and I was just like, it makes sense in a Michael Bay way, because this shouldn't be shocking us anymore with him totally taking something and just raping it with his own stuff.
Well, I was just going to ask, who else is taking on the mindset of just a 70-year-old man who has been raped every day for the rest of his life, that you're just immune to it? And, like, it's just easier to ignore it now than to just spew all the venomous stuff that's in your brain, but you're, at a certain point, I'm just like, what's the point?
I'm numb to bay rape, is that?
Yes.
Although there is one thing that I have to say about Michael Bay, that he's got balls to continue with this, despite the huge negative uproar he's gotten.
You gotta have galactic, like, Jupiter balls to do that.
I think he's the ultimate troll.
That you know he's gotten tons of hate mail over this, and he's still like, I'm doing it, goddammit.
Yes, if he were a Greek god, he would be Testicles.
I think me and Jesse can agree. Whenever we're at work, the most cringing thing we ever hear people say was, Transformers was a good movie.
Oh my god, yes.
There are people who watched...
You know, Transformers was a good movie in 1986.
Exactly.
Worst I ever heard from people at work that liked Transformers was the conversation I overheard where the two people were talking about how awesome Bucky Larson was.
Oh, yeah.
How forward they were looking to Fast and Furious 6, and then they talked about how great packing peanuts tasted.
That's who we work with, people.
It's called natural selection. They eat enough packing peanuts, swallow enough marbles, they don't have kids of their own.
But, like, the common person that doesn't know any of the background, like, if you take Transformers, they probably didn't even grow up watching it, they probably just know of it. And they see big, flashy effects, so they're thinking they're playing SoCal 5, and because it looks better, it's a good game, which it's not. But Transformers, they don't know anything about the background or anything. They didn't grow up watching their cartoon and buying all the f***ing toys. No, they're just like, explosions! I like that! And Michael Bay sits there, his target audience are people who are either uninformed, because I don't want to say idiots for everybody, they're either uninformed or totally f***ing retarded, that they see that stuff and they have the shortest attention spans ever. That's the people he goes for.
Well, see, I think we're all, and I'm being serious here, I think we're all glossing over the more important aspect of this whole Ninja Turtles thing. Not so much that Michael Bay is raping it, that Eastman and Lariat, the creators of TMNT, chose yet again to put their stamp on something that will make them money, that is a further raping of their original creation. Because, I mean, these guys, they'll do anything if a dump truck full of money is involved.
Yeah.
And it's sad that both of them came out and said, well, you know, it's kind of a unique take. And, you know, back in the comic books, we were going to bring down aliens and have a fifth turtle added, and it's kind of neat. Okay, here's the thing. They get paid either way. That's why it's called royalties. If they had any artistic integrity whatsoever, they would have stood up and said, I get my paycheck regardless, but this is the worst goddamn idea I have ever seen to be put on the silver screen.
That
if they had any artistic integrity, I would have loved to seen. But they, because that's the thing, they get paid either way. It's really that they don't give a shit anymore.
I would have respected that if they had cashed the check and then said, this is going to suck so hard, choke on it, bitches.
Because the thing about royalties is it doesn't matter whether you endorse the product or not. They get the royalty regardless.
Michael Bay is just going to go from like one childhood phenomenon to the next and just ruin it? Is that the idea? Was Transformers his foot in the door? So he's going Turtles. So what's next? What's after Turtles?
Barnyard Commandos.
Freakazoid. Yeah, I could definitely, though, see Michael Bay doing a Darkwing Duck movie.
Dude, I can see Michael Bay. Can you see Michael Bay, like, sitting there saying, yeah, I'm going to f***ing do Voltron. Let's go.
I'm actually surprised Thundercats has not already happened.
Shh. Shut the f*** up.
Sorry.
What's going to happen?
The cartoon's bad enough. You know what? I want to see, just to piss off Jowski, I want to see Michael Bay helm an all live-action My Little Pony movie.
Oh, God. No.
Explosion Pony.
They're actually making that in Tijuana right now.
They have been for the past 20 years.
For many years. They are trailblazers for the My Little Pony remake.
Because, I mean, but if you think about it, even Michael Bay's only truly good film was still a ripoff. The man has no talent at all.
The Island?
Yeah, The Island. It was
Parks,
much better movie. Yeah, but it was a much better movie than that, the same way that Reservoir Dogs is a better movie than City on Fire. That doesn't make it a blatant ripoff, and he was sued pretty hard over it.
I hate Michael Bay enough to where I am still going to take Parts the Clonus Horror over The Island.
I actually thought The Island was pretty decently done, and if you turn the volume off, Bad Boys 2 is one of the most beautiful films visually I've ever seen.
Yeah.
The camera work, the cinematography, the camera angles, everything in that film is gorgeous.
If you turn the sound off?
Yeah, because unfortunately, every time a character speaks, the film just gets dumb. But if you just watch the movie with the volume off, it's a gorgeous film.
So back to Turtles, besides them being aliens, what do we know? What else do we know? Or is that it? Is that the big detail?
Well, the article that Jowski found here had tags at the bottom, which I wanted to share. One of them is TMNT, understandable. One of them is Michael Bay. One of them is Alien Turtle Gate. One of them is Lies. And my favorite is Douchebaggery. Those are article tags for this.
Are you on Topless Robot?
Yes. It's the same article you sent me.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. And when you think about it, let's take out the fact that they've changed the name to now Ninja Turtles.
Gotcha.
But they're not mutants anymore, okay? Mm-hmm. Ninjutsu is a specific Asian-specific art, so even if they come from another planet, how would they know ninjutsu? They wouldn't actually be turtles because they would be an alien species which might be turtle-like, so what in the hell does this have to do with the turtles at all? Because from what I've read, they're not going to like crash as little baby turtles and be raised by Splinter to be ninjas. They're going to crash in a spaceship and be ninjas when they come out of the spaceship.
I think
so. They already had ninjutsu on their planet.
I already have an idea of how they're going to do that. They're going to like have some scene where they're fighting some guys or anything like that. They're going to do moves that are going to be like it. And then somebody's just going to look at them and be like, oh my God, those are ninja turtles. That's what's going to happen.
That's your first 5 minutes of the movie right there.
Yeah, right there.
Or Tom, even better, they learned ninjutsu from watching Kung Fu Theater in the 1980s. They were just getting the transmissions.
Actually,
it's not exactly ninja, but you know, you see where I'm going here.
Actually, if they were watching Kung Fu, they would think it was an actual defensive move to put a belt around your neck and jerk off.
That's only in the 2000s. In the 1970s, he still had a career ahead of him.
They might still actually be turtles, because remember Howard the Duck? It was a planet of ducks.
Hmm.
But they weren't actually ducks, because the ducks on our planet, Alex, I'm sorry to break this to you, don't talk or wear clothes or watch porn.
Wait
I'm
a minute,
sorry
what?
To break this to you, Alex.
You mean ducks don't actually have boobs?
No, they don't.
Well, my God, I gotta talk to Santa Claus about this.
No, but this is Michael Bay's Howard the Duck, though, if he's gonna make a planet of turtle people.
Well, okay, who do you think he's gonna, I mean, or if we even want him to, do you think he's gonna start off with Shredder? Is Shredder gonna be like somebody on Earth? Is it gonna be like some alien following them? What's your thoughts on this?
Actually, with Michael Bay, I can see it being a black gangbanger from Da Hood. And that's gonna turn out to be, because you know how he loves his racial stereotypes. So it's going to be a black guy with a big gold tooth that he talk like this, you know, and that's going to be what's going to turn out to be Shredder. None of this Oroko Saki crap.
Or it's going to be some really rich Asian that owns the largest chain of laundromats.
No, I think this is seriously going to be like Howard the Duck, and Shredder is going to be a lot like Jeffrey Jones's character in Howard the Duck.
So we're going to acknowledge him as Shredder, but he's not going to be Shredder at all?
He's going to be a guy possessed by an alien overlord.
Oh my God, shut up, because then that's what's going to f***ing happen. Oh.
See, speaking of Howard the Duck, that's a movie, and again, to go to Alex's article, I don't think should be remade, but if they adapted the source material properly, the Howard the Duck comic books from the 70s are absolutely hilarious. And if they'd actually used Steve Gerber's Howard the Duck, that could have been a decent film.
The Howard the Duck comics are still hilarious, by the way.
I haven't read any of the new ones. I've got all the old magazines and his old 70s series, and I love those. If they would just take that bizarre Howard the Duck world that Steve Gerber created instead of whatever the hell George Lucas thought he was doing.
That is a notorious movie.
It's actually not that bad. I watched it last Halloween with my little niece, and there are parts that work. The overlords coming down the satellite beam, that's still pretty creepy.
I was going to say, Howard the Duck has aged surprisingly well.
Yeah, like, there are parts that don't work and parts that work great.
Because if I find that on TV now, I'll keep watching it.
Well, it does have two of my favorite things from the 80s, which are Leah Thompson and Jeffrey Jones. Those two could never do wrong, so I kind of am partial towards Howard the Duck for that alone.
Do you mean never go wrong? You know Jeffrey Jones is a pedophile now, right?
Oh my God, now I hate him. Now I can't watch Beetlejuice anymore. Now I can never watch Mom and Dad Save the World without thinking, ugh.
Well, you probably shouldn't watch that anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, you didn't choose a real cinematic high point there. If you just said Ferris Bueller or something, Alex, your argument might have had some oomph behind it.
Exactly. Now that I know this, Ravenous is completely ruined for me. The Devil's Advocate is still okay, though.
That guy is the best Ninja Turtle ever.
So, back with Ninja Turtles, though. How big of a Ninja Turtles fan were you, Tom?
From what I can remember, I watched the show. Like, I started watching the show as a kid, but that's not what I got into. I really got into the action figures. That's what I really like to do. I like getting every single f***ing one.
As did I.
Then as, like, I grew away from the TV shows, just action figures. That's all I ever wanted to do. But, I mean, I did like it enough that my mom, I remember when I was a kid, had a Ninja Turtles birthday. So, but, yeah, it was the action figures. I was really into those.
I was 7 when they came out, when the first season aired on TV. So I was right at the target audience and got into it, collected the toys, watched the show. I even went and got all those. They were giving away videos at Burger King for a while.
Yeah.
And I had them all on video and would watch them all the time. Just the first three seasons, though, is all I got into. By the time season four came around, I was growing out of it. That, and they gave Michelangelo that bola instead of his nunchucks, and that's how it jumped the shark for me.
What was your favorite toy, Tom?
I'm trying to think. For like the old school, the Mecha Turtle is cool, but there's these ones that they made where the turtles had humongous, like, instead of regular turtle shells, they had humongous sewage tops on them, and you put like a zip tie in it, and you f***ing pull them, and they'd spin like mad crazy. But I liked them because like they're heavy and shit, so I could throw them at my brother and give him a black eye.
I remember those. Those were very dangerous.
Being the old man of this group. Now, I didn't get into the comic right off the bat. I started with issue 8, but I read the original Mirage series all the time when I was growing up in high school. And the cartoon, when you start with the serious comic books, the cartoon's unwatchable. The only ones I ever regularly tuned into were the ones when Usagi Yojimbo showed up, because I loved Usagi Yojimbo, the comic.
The Samurai Rabbit?
Yes. And then, bizarrely enough, I don't know why they made an action figure of Space Usagi, which was a character from the comics too. To my knowledge, Space Usagi never appeared on the cartoon, yet I have an action figure of him. I have an action figure of Panda Khan. He was another independent comic that was out around the same time. Panda Khan was a great thing. I don't know how the hell he got wrapped into the Turtles toy line.
There were a bunch of toys of characters that were not on the show. I mean, Tom, do you remember General Trag?
General
was on the show.
Was he on the show?
The Rock People?
Yeah, he was on the show.
Oh, yeah.
I might not have seen that one then.
But Charlie, I think it's different when, like, Usagi and Panda Khan were totally separate comic books, and those versions of the characters never appeared on the show. That made it even more bizarre. Not just making up an action figure only character, let's take Panda Khan, a comic book no one's heard of that only lasted for 6 issues, and we'll just make an action figure out of him but not put him on the show.
I think that came from just Eastman's company needing to meet a quota of action figures and running out of shit.
It might be, because I've still got the Space Usagi and I've still got the Panda Khan figure. They're sitting down in my basement right now, and those are some cool figures.
Yeah, I had a Krang action figure where he had legs.
Like, what?
Like organic legs?
Like organic legs that were just popping out of his brain.
Well, there's a lot of crazy ones, I know that.
Do you guys remember the Universal Monsters and Star Trek versions?
Oh, God, no. But I remember I had one. I didn't even know who it was. It was like, I want to say it was kind of like a frog thing. He wore a Hawaiian shirt.
I remember him, yeah.
But like when I was a kid, I had the action figure. And, you know, as a kid, like, I don't know how many episodes of the show I watched or anything like that. I can't remember, but I remember having that, and I'm like, I'd be like playing with it, I'd be like, who the f*** is this guy? So my mom was just like, that says turtles on it, here, enjoy.
I just came across a wonderful word that describes fan reaction to things like Ninja Turtles. Fantrums.
Fantrum? Yeah.
We are throwing a fantrum right now.
Yes.
A temper fantrum.
Speaking of which, and Tom and Josh, you would probably have more of a reaction than I did to this. When the first Spider-Man movie came out, I was reading some message board, and some guy was calling a call to arms to boycott it because they were making his web, like, actually come out of his arm as opposed to a device that Peter Parker makes.
Yeah.
Having not been familiar with the comic, I didn't even know that it was a device. My response was, who the f*** cares? But how about you guys?
Mine was like, I looked at that and I was like, well, that's not right. It's a cartridge. But it wasn't big enough to me to boycott the movie. But I was able to acknowledge it and move on.
Right. I heard there was going to be organic webbing, and I'm just like, well, him making the machine wouldn't really be cinematically entertaining, so I'm like, whatever.
But see, here's the thing. When the fans all started throwing a tantrum over that, Sam Raimi tried to defend it, saying, you know, he wanted it to be organic like a real spider. And I'm going, but spiders don't shoot webs out of their feet. They shoot it out of their ass, so shouldn't Peter Parker have to bend over to swing from buildings?
There's a movie for you.
Yeah.
That's the gay. Awesome. That's the gay porn version, and it's not webs shooting out of his ass.
I would have loved to have seen Tobey Maguire swinging from his ass.
But I just love the fact that, well, it's more like a real spider. Actually, Sam, no. Have you ever seen a real spider spin a web before? It doesn't come out of their feet.
Well, if it were more like a real spider, he would not have 2 goddamn legs. Just let it go.
No, I'm not. I'm a nitpicker,
Well, no, not you. I'm talking about, like, Sam Raimi. Like, if you're trying to make it as, I'm just going to say, zoologically accurate, then who the hell cares about organic webbing? Give him multiple legs. That would have been even more accurate, but you don't do that because it's stupid.
No, I was going to say another thing that I like from the Turtles that as I aged, that I focused more on. As more I got older, the action figures kind of stayed in the box. But was the video games in the arcade. Like when the TMNT 2 arcade game came out, was awesome. And then I got on Nintendo, which was badass. And then the Turtles in Time.
That four-player arcade one?
Yeah.
Oh, that was awesome. That was a beautiful game.
All the time. And actually, in the arcade, it wasn't called 2. It was just Ninja Turtles, the arcade game. Yeah. It was when they released it on the NES.
And then, and here's the thing, that actually kind of sucked, though, because us that went to arcades got screwed, because the arcade version, technically, if you remember, had 4 stages, but if you got on the NES, it had 8 stages. And I remember, because, and the only reason that clicked was because I put it in the arcade and I put it on the Nintendo, but I was at an arcade like a long time ago and I was like, oh my god, they still have the Turtles arcade game, the Nintendo one, and I played it and I was like, this next stage is going to be like the Oriental stage where you go through this, and it wasn't. And I was like, oh my god, there's only 4 stages. So you had to like buy the Nintendo game to play more stages.
Because I had Nintendo Power at the time that game came out and they were really talking up. It has 2 stages that weren't in the arcade that have nothing, that are so out of place in the story of the game, though.
There's a story in that game?
Yes, there is.
April? Isn't that the story?
Yeah, they're going to go save April
gets captured.
Go save April, and then it's go save Splinter.
Then it's go save Geordi, go save Tails, go save everybody else that just gets stuck, and you have to save them every other episode. Yeah.
Princess Peach.
Yeah.
But in the end, Zelda. Having played the arcade version on Xbox Arcade enough times lately, I went back and played the NES one and realized how actually graphically inferior that port is to the actual arcade game.
You think? Are you actually saying you thought an 8-bit game could match an arcade console for graphics?
Although I will say one thing about that game that it did right. That game had me buying Pizza Hut every week.
Oh yeah.
Ever people go on and on, especially in the cartoon. Like, oh my god, the pizza in that show just looks so good. And I'm like, no, it doesn't.
No, it wasn't even the show. It was all of the Pizza Hut brand in the NES game.
I'm just talking in general. People tend to be obsessed about the pizza in the show where they have like, you put like zucchini potato paste on there and it's like, oh, that's the kind of pizza I got. And everybody would rave. Oh, it looks so good. Oh, that's just so awesome. Turtles never like helped the attraction of pizza because pizza's already good anyway. When I think of Turtles, I never think of the pizza thing, like ever. But the other arcade game that was good, Turtles in Time, that one was awesome as well.
I don't think I ever played Turtles in Time.
You need to go to one of the 6 cities left in America that actually has a arcade, and you need to go find it and play it.
We don't even have an arcade anymore.
I was gonna say it was 7 until recently.
Yeah. Did anybody also did anybody play the Super Nintendo, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighter? They actually made the fighter for it.
Yes, I played that.
Because I remember. I don't know if this was a glitch or if just the friend I was playing with was a cheap son of a bitch. He'd always play Casey, and if he trapped you in a corner, he could just keep spamming one button, and there was nothing you could do to get out of it.
Yeah, because characters never broken. There's that character Carrie, the last boss in the game you could play as. If you're in the corner, you can literally jab, dash, punch the entire time until they die. Yeah, that game was totally broken.
And this is before they could just patch in a fix. That game was broken forever.
Imagine a game where everybody is Sentinel from Marvel vs. Capcom 2. That's what this game was.
Casey Jones, when I was a kid, was a bullshit Halloween costume. I think we can all say that. You know, like, here's a goalie mask. Here's some, here, hold this bat in this hand and then this 9 iron in the other hand. Go out and trick-or-treat. And the whole time I'm out there, like, why is Jason Voorhees wearing sweatpants? That's stupid.
And then you'd be like, don't forget to hit on chicks in yellow.
It is a dual-use costume, though. If you're at a kid's party, I'm Casey Jones. If you're at an adult's party, I'm Jason Voorhees.
And then everybody goes, no, you're not. You're Casey Jones, you prick.
And then if you're at a really adult party, you could say, notice I'm wearing sweatpants.
which are, for some reason, very, very tight all of a sudden.
That would be your erection.
I saw a landscaping and a construction company the other day. It said, let us handle your erection.
Sign me up. Let's go.
wasn't sure if that was an intentional or not.
Time to put your money where your mouth is.
Because we used to have a gay bar in Green Bay called Zaz, and it was on a really busy highway, so there was never parking. So all the parking was in the back. They had a huge sign on the top of the gay bar that said parking in rear. I didn't know if that was intentional or not.
It's probably not intentional because they don't have senses of humor. Because the gay bar here in town, the Pirates Cove, rejected my my slogan idea. Come here to plunder booty.
Nor does Green Bay have an offensive line or a defense. Oh, I went there.
Their defense is a gay bar.
they do have a Super Bowl MVP.
That's true. Not from this last year, though.
No, this last year, they play brilliantly until the one game that matters.
Well, it's manifest. It was the Giants were just destined to do that. You get Tom Coughlin, their coach, on the hot seat saying we should fire him. And all of a sudden he wins a Super Bowl. That's exactly what happened last time.
The way a friend of mine put it was, right when they lost that first playoff game, was, sure, you pick now to play like shit.
Yeah, like seriously.
I can't hear anybody mention the Green Bay Packers without thinking of a couple years ago when I was trying to find information on Brett Favre scandal, and I googled the word Favrecock.
You smelly Favrecock.
Yeah, well, it's not as bad as, what's his face, Mr. Oh, I cannot believe I'm just brain farting on his name. The one that everybody loves right now that just signed with two different teams. Yeah,
Tebow?
Tim Tebow. Yeah. He just signed with two different teams on the same day and signed both contracts. And now he's pissed that he's got to give back the money from one of the teams because he doesn't understand why he can't play on two teams at the same time.
So you're saying he's no longer a virgin because he a bunch of people?
I have no idea where you heard that. The thing I heard... Here is actually something awesome about the contract he had in Denver, if I remember correctly. When he was finalized with the Jets, like they came out and said he's going to the Jets, but then the Jets were like, whoa, 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 hold on a second, because there's something in Tebow's contract that said, yeah, if he's traded within a certain amount of years, the team he goes to has to pay him $5 million. Like,
yeah.
On top of everything, he gets $5 million.
But then he also signed with the Panthers the same day, and now the NFL is looking into which one of the contracts is legal, and he took and cashed the checks for both signing bonuses he got for the Jets and the Panthers, which means he kind of thinks he can be lay on both teams at the same time.
You mean the Jaguars?
Jaguars. I don't know, some stupid cat. I don't follow football.
The Meerkats of Indianapolis.
The Meerkats are going to take it all this year. Well, here's a question for you, Josh.
What's up?
And this is just my own curiosity. What is the most recent movie that you liked?
The most recent movie I liked?
Moneyball.
Shut up. I have not seen Girl with the Dragon Tattoo yet, but I'm anticipating liking that. But it would be a movie I just showed Jowski the other day. Hunter Prey.
That was
really, really good, ultra low budget independent sci-fi film from 2010.
Who directed it?
I can't remember who directed it. I told you about this one the other day, Tom.
Okay, did you ever see that Batman versus Aliens versus Predator live action short that was out?
Yeah.
The guy that did that directed this. Sandy Carolla, something like that. And Batman actually plays a large role in this, the guy that played Batman in that short film.
Huh.
So why? Are you jumping on this? I hate everything post 1995 too?
No, I was just curious.
No, Hunter Prey, very, very good movie.
Did you see Moneyball?
No, and I won't. I hate Jonah Hill. That no talent piece of gets an Oscar nomination, and then he goes and ruins one of my favorite franchises from the 80s. No, him in the ass with a big rubber and then break it off inside him and beat him with the rest of it.
Moneyball is a pretty good movie.
Wait a minute.
That is going to be a lot of...
Hang on. No, hang on.
What?
Rubber? No, I'm just kidding.
A big plastic...
Okay, now we're on the same page. That's fine.
Brad might make fun of me, but I hate Jonah Hill and Seth Rogen so much. It's not part of an actor trying to be funny. I think those two are some of the most untalented people in Hollywood right now, and the fact that they're both heralded as geniuses actually makes me weep for the future of Hollywood.
And I hate Seth Rogen as well. Jonah Hill, I'm not saying I like really like him. I haven't had an issue so far, but then again, I know he's made bad movies that I haven't seen yet, so probably when I see them, it might ruin it. But I replace Jonah Hill with me. I hate Seth Rogen, and I f***ing hate Michael Cera.
Why? Because he plays the exact same character with different names in every film?
Yes! But... Yes!
He plays Michael Cera in every movie.
I'm the awkward teen, and he's going to be like that till he's 50 years old, that stupid f***ing prick garbage.
And then there's that one movie he did, Paper Heart, where he plays Michael Cera.
Oh, God.
They didn't even change the name.
You know, him and Channing Tatum and Hayden Christensen, they've got the best agents in all of Hollywood. They're absolutely untalented in every single way, yet they get multi-million dollar movies one right after another. How does that happen?
Well, it's because the public at large does not like talented people.
They just like pretty faces.
Some people just want to see cinema burn, okay?
How does Robert Pattinson get to be a star while Dean Winters languishes in obscurity? Yeah, he was Ryan O'Reilly in Oz. He was on Law & Order Special Victims Unit. He's been in a whole guest starred in a whole bunch of different things. The absolutely brilliant Millennium episode, The Curse of Frank Black. You might know him best as Mayhem from the insurance commercials.
As soon as you said SVU, that's what I was thinking about.
And yeah. He also has a recurring character on 30 Rock.
Yes, which he steals every scene he's in on 30 Rock.
Josh, I want to give you mad props because I thought I was the only guy who identified that dude as the dude from SVU in the Allstate commercials. Because I remember I was watching it and I was like, that's the f***ing Mayhem guy from Allstate. And my girlfriend was like, what? I was like, so glad somebody else f***ing saw that. Mad props.
I love Dean Winters. There's two people I'd swallow for. Dean Winters and Michael Ironside. Both of them just ooze awesome.
Yes.
One thing I've always wanted to know, because that guy looks eerily familiar to I think the dude in Blair Witch Project 2, is that the same guy?
No,
you're thinking of Michael Donovan. Jeffrey Donovan.
Jeffrey Donovan.
He plays Michael West
on Burn Notice, right. But no, Michael Ironside popped up on Justified last night, and I was so excited. I'm like, ooh, Ironside! Michael Ironside is the king of awesome. I don't care if he's a little bit larger than he used to be. He's still awesome.
Michael Ironside has he ever not played a villain?
He looks like a mean turtle.
Sequest 2032. He was the main character good guy in the third season.
Well, I didn't even make it to the third season of Sequest.
All right. Then here's the thing, and you can leave this in the episode maybe. Sequest, ignore season two. Season one is only okay. It's basically Star Trek underwater. Season two is awful. Season three is absolutely amazing. Season three is the Deep Space Nine of that franchise.
No, the thing about I wanted to say about Sequest, though, I watched half of season one, but only because my sister was 12-year-old Jonathan Brandis fangirl at the time.
But no, Alex, seriously, check out, season three is the one that's not on DVD, so you'll have to bootleg it. But season three basically fixes everything that was wrong with seasons one and two. And Michael Ironside takes over as the new main character.
First of all, let me ask this question. Totally off topic, but it just popped in my head. Did anybody like and watch, not the original Johnny Quest, but the real Adventures of Johnny Quest?
Oh, I hated that like mid-90s version.
Oh, you didn't like that?
I hated it. Ugh.
I loved it. I was just seeing if anybody actually has it, because I can't find it anywhere.
Josh, where can we find you?
You can find me on the internets at 1201beyond.com, and I have my column, Sanity is Razor Thin, at geekjuicemedia.com, and Alex has the actual Addy, so he can tell you what that is.
Yes, www.geekjuicemedia.com, where you can check out all of our Geek Juice stuff.
Everything except Tom's, because he's not worth it.
No, it's awesome. Trust me. Tom's, and Josh is just saying that because he secretly has a crush on me.
I didn't realize I was so subtle you thought it was a secret.
Well, it's open now, big guy.
And so am I.
Oh, you can find me Twitter at Tom_BadGuy, Xbox Live Tom_BadGuy. And I'm going to post something eventually. I've just been focused way too much on my actual job. But that's where you can find me. Goodbye.
Good night.